What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to the Corpus Christi Originals podcast, where we highlight people and ideas and movements shaping the coastal bend. Today, I've got someone whose work hits community in a different way. He's an advocate, an educator, a nonprofit founder, and he's stepping into the Corpus scene with purpose. I'm talking about the founder of Joaquin 2 Inclusion, Mr. Joaquin Rangel. He's been pushing for better support for kiddos with special needs. He's organizing shows here in the coastal bend, and he's got the A&M Hate Week energy ready to go. Joaquin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me. Really appreciate it. Very excited to be here.
Cool, man. Yeah, I met you at the Joaquin 2 Inclusion 2 years ago. I think it was before that El Nino was out there. And then your show. I hadn't been to a show in the years, bro. Nice. So I went to the El Nino show, and then I went to yours. I like heavy music to begin with, but I really wanted to go to that one because of the what it was for. You know, like, I guess kids with autism and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. So special needs as a whole is what we do. If you see our logo, it's got puzzle pieces inside of it. That's primarily because I have two little siblings that have autism. I've got multiple cousins that are on the spectrum, so that's the closest thing to me. But our whole thing is helping children with disabilities across the board. That's just the one that's a little bit closer to my heart.
That's so cool, man. Yeah, like I think I was diagnosed with ADHD or ADD like in middle school. And so I was like, yes, let's do this. You know what I mean? Because you grow up in the school system and stuff, and sometimes it's rough for us, you know?
Yeah, I got diagnosed as an adult with ADD, and I was like, this is why I can't sit still. And why I would knock out work super fast. But once it was done, I was like, dude, I'm having such a hard time just sitting here.
Yeah. What do I do next?
Yeah.
For sure. Sometimes I have a habit of like starting stuff and not finishing it or whatever.
Yes. Running the nonprofit's super cool with ADD because I'm always creating new projects. Mm. So there's always stuff to do. Albeit right now it's becoming a little too much going on at one time. But I think with the ADD, it kind of kicks on a superpower where it's like there's 10 different tasks. And because there's so many different tasks, I always have something to do. Mm. So if one of them gets a little like dull or something, I can just jump to the next thing, work on that, and then go back and just, the way the ADD brain works, it just flip-flops. It's all over the place, and I can do that with the work.
Yeah, man. And then sometimes it's like, I have all these things, and I'm very passionate about them, but sometimes it's like getting started, like, okay, I need to work on this, but I don't want to. But once you get in the flow, dude, you're just like, oh, okay, this is it right here. That's cool, man. So I guess introduce Bill Canella. Let's see. So for the listeners in Corpus, how do you describe who Joaquin Rangel is?
Yeah, so I'm just a guy from Alice. I live in Austin now, but lived in Alice, graduated from over there, went to Texas, Hook'em. Mm-hmm. Graduated from there in 2018, was working over there doing, I worked my way up a company that taught kids how to fly drones and build robots. Started out as a teacher. Turned to the guy that had created the company and told him, like, you're sitting on a great idea. Let's make it a whole business. We launched in Houston. We launched in Dallas. We had launched in San Antonio. The summer that I left, we had just launched nationwide. I was then told to oversee more area and take a pay cut. And I was like, are you sure? It's like, yep, I'm sure about it. So I quit August 31st of 2023 and then started the nonprofit September 1st of 2023. But I'm just a dude from Alice who somehow ended up with this, doing lots of live music shows, doing the nonprofit, making sure that children with disabilities have a quality education, someone who likes to fish, big fan of doing that. When we finish up, I'm going to go to Portland to go stay at my uncle's.
Wow.
When I'm driving across to the bridge, Indian Point's right there. I'm going to go throw my lure a little bit and go and hang out. But yeah, that's me.
Man, I gotta say, man, you guys from Alice, dude, I don't know what's in the water out there, man, but all of y'all, like, most of the people that I've met from Alice, like, totally exceed my expectations, bro. Like, really, man, it's crazy, bro. Like, I mean, we got Marcos Liao is going to be on tomorrow, another truck driver friend of mine. Dude, like, I don't know what's going on. Surge.
Oh, yeah,
Sergio. Like, a lot of people, I'm like, dude, you guys are really, there was another guy in the mariachi band in Alice and stuff like that, like the high school or whatever. And man, you guys are awesome, man. Shout out to Alice, dude.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I feel like when I meet people and they know where Alice is and I tell them I'm from there, their first response is, ooh.
Yeah.
Like, no, I promise, like, it's a good spot.
No, man, for real. Yeah, really. Shout out to Alice. You guys, I mean, it's amazing what you guys are doing out there. And even just like you're talking about your business that you guys built and stuff. Like, dude, it's amazing. So what's the story behind creating Joaquin 2 Inclusion?
Yeah, so like I said before, I was told to take on more hours for less money. Was not going to do that. Absolutely not.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I had been sitting on this idea for a while, going around the state and getting to work with kids, teaching them how to fly drones and robots and whatnot. Just saw that a lot of kids with disabilities were not treated very well. I'd be in the classroom before it was my time to start. I'd see teachers get kind of frustrated at the kids. The kids would then get frustrated at whoever that kid was. And a lot of the times teachers just didn't respond very well. And I'd ask him afterwards, like, hey, I noticed when Jimmy was doing X, Y, and Z, you did this. Like, I'm not saying anything to get mad at you. Just want to know, why did you do what you did? Mm. And the most common thing I would hear is, I don't know what to do. No one's ever shown me, which I thought was crazy. Like, what do you mean no one's ever shown you? No. So I know we have a lot of the shows and do all of that, but our whole thing is we have these inclusive learning labs that we do. Mm-hmm. And what these inclusive learning labs are is it is a learning lab that teaches teachers how to better run classrooms that have kids with ADD or autism or CP, Down syndrome, all the different things. Classrooms are pretty overcrowded now. Yeah. And with that comes inclusion, which we're all about, but it's hard.
Yeah,
it's really hard to do that. So we're just trying to help teachers better run those classrooms and not just telling them what to do, like, oh, hey, if X, then Y, but also giving them therapeutic equipment to use in the schools. Do you know Dell Children's Hospital in Austin?
No.
So that's a real big children's hospital in Austin. A lot of great minds over there. We collaborated with some of their physical therapists and occupational therapists over there with tools that are easiest for someone to learn how to use that have the highest effectiveness so that we can show teachers, like, hey, if you see that your student that you know is a runner or has a lot of energy or whatever, that they're about to maybe go through something, here's the body sock, this is how you use it.
Wow.
Or here's a sensory swing, this is how you use it, or whatever tool it may be for that student, not just telling them what to do, but giving them stuff to do.
Yeah,
and that's what we do.
Man, do you ever feel like it's like there's so much that to where you're like, man, this is even making an effect. You know, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
How do you, what are your thoughts like towards that?
Yeah. Every morning it feels like there's too much to do, not enough to be able to do it. But it's just one step at a time, doing what we can to try to get everything to happen and to work. Most schools have sensory rooms, which already have all of this equipment.
Mm.
Super cool. None of the teachers know how to use it, or most of the time a para is the one that takes the kids to the room to use it anyway.
Yeah.
So even just being able to show the paras what to do or the teachers what to use, like, that is also huge.
Mm.
It's just it's a slow process, takes some time. We're going to be making all of our inclusive learning labs are now going to be online, hopefully by May or June, so that teachers can sign on, get their 8 hours of CPE credit. Teachers, if you're listening, it's 8 hours. It is free. We will hopefully have that rolled out by May. We should start shooting those videos in January or February.
Man, that's cool, bro. That's cool. It makes me think about, like, you can't change what the person thinks or, you know, about it. That's the thing that, I guess that's the thing that gets me, because you want everybody to want to fix this, you know what I mean? Or help solve the problem, you know? Man, so you shared that you have siblings in your family inspired in your mission. How did that shape everything you're doing now?
It just means more. My whole heart is in it. Like, when I was doing the drone robotics thing before, like, I was doing it because there was a huge money potential.
Right.
There probably is a money potential in this. If there is, I haven't found it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just more drive, more desire to make things happen.
Yeah.
First year doing this, I probably spent like $10,000 of my own money to keep the stream afloat and making it happen. This year, we're at a break even, which is really nice. I think most people, after looking at their bank account after 2 years and seeing that it's just going down, would be like,
crazy.
Yeah, it's rough, man. But like, heart's in it. I know that we're trying to make a difference. I know we're trying to do some big things. It's a slow process, but we'll get there.
Yeah, man, that's good. Good for you, man. Good for you. When you stepped into the nonprofit world, what changed you the most? Because it was a nonprofit before, Not with the drone, right?
That was for profit.
So when you got into that world, I mean, was it shocking? Like, what were your initial thoughts?
It was, so the company I was with before built it from the ground up. It was a startup, moved from just the teacher to vice president of operations. And it didn't feel like too big of a change at first because it was building a new business. It's
right.
Yeah, it's figuring out what you do, how you're going to do it, what the different things are. I think the hardest part has been switching from the sales aspect that is on a for-profit business where it's, hey, you give me $50 and then I come in and I do this class and I teach your kids how to fly these things or build this robot. Whereas now it's like, hey, you give me $50 and I go help this kid that you don't know. And there's a lot of disconnect there, which I don't blame anyone. I know times are tough. I know that it's hard to like find money for things, but it's been different going from like, you pay money, I give you the service versus you pay money, I go take the service to someone else.
Oh, wow.
And that's kind of been the biggest eye opener and changer of things is figuring out how to navigate that like B2C to like B2 someone else.
Crazy, bro. Wow. And you're a 501c3?
Yes, sir.
What's that? I mean, that's like, what is it? What is that?
So a 501c3 is a public charity. So just like any nonprofit, it's just a different like indicator of what you are. So we're a public charity that's not allowed to participate in political things is kind of the
interesting
main part of it. So we're allowed to help out however we can. As per written, our paperwork when we submitted, our paperwork was super vague when we submitted because we don't just help special needs kids, right? Like we had a school supply drive show back in July at House of Rock. School supplies are for everyone. They're not special needs specific. We've done clothing drives. We've done food stuff. So our paperwork's super general. But as long as we're helping the public, we fall under the 501c3. We just can't do anything political.
Interesting. Wow. And like when people mention that too, it makes me think like taxes. Like sometimes they say, well, you don't have to pay tax. I don't know what all those stipulations are. That's what comes to my mind. And it makes me think of like churches and stuff like that. But yeah, how did you feel when you got that, man? Like, was it something you were striving to get? Like, we need to get this, or like, I want to get this. Like, what was that like?
Yeah. So the paperwork process was not too difficult, to be honest. I hired this thing called Swift Filings.
Right on.
They're the ones that I was collaborating with to make sure that it was broad enough to let where we could do anything, but our mission was what our mission is. Mm. We were sponsored when we first started out under another nonprofit. The other nonprofit is called Eagles Fly Advocacy and Outreach. They're out of San Antonio.
Wow.
It's also my aunt's nonprofit, so it was kind of easy. So we were operating under them for maybe about 4 or 5 months.
Wow.
Just because it takes time to get your paperwork. They got to send it to the wherever they send it to. I didn't fill it out, so I don't know. They had to send it to wherever, and it went to wherever, and then it came back over to me, and that's kind of how that worked.
You mentioned you use a system or whatever. I talk about AI often. Do you use AI at all as far as like chatbots or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I have to. I know people are probably going to push back on that just because AI, like, it's taking all of our water, the desal plants here in Corpus, all of that fun stuff.
How's that? Wow.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. So AI uses a lot of water. I don't know if y'all have servers over here, but it uses an insane amount of water.
I'm talking about artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
You're talking about?
Yeah. To keep the servers cool, it uses a lot of water. And not every company recycles that water. Mm. So you type into ChatGPT. I don't think they're one of the recyclers. I'm guilty of using them. But you type into ChatGPT, whatever it is, it sends you whatever you get back. And that could have been one or two bottles of water that are kind of now gone. Yeah.
That's weird. That's a weird way to think about it. I'm not understanding what you mean, bro. What?
Yeah, I mean, it's just to keep everything cool, keep everything going, like the actual server cool from overheating.
Oh, I gotcha. The actual computer that holds all the data.
Yeah, yeah. However that part works, like, yeah, that's what that does.
No way, bro.
Yeah, but we use AI. I probably do the job of like 4 or 5 different people by myself, so I have to have the AI stuff to keep everything together and like, so I can't afford to pay and other people to come onto the team and do other stuff at like the capacity we're at.
Right.
So cheat and use AI to be able to do the different things.
So use it as a tool, maybe more productive, productivity faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I see it too. It's cool, man. Yeah. So that's your origin story. So we're going to talk about the impact of the nonprofit, man. So break a J12 down for us. What do you provide for parents? Actually, you talked about that already. You got talked about the learning labs. What's one story that really captures why your work matters?
This one, not kid related, heavier story, a little bit more recent. We're working with a woman who, Alex from El Vago, actually passed to us, going through a hard time, borderline homeless whenever we met with her, helping her get some resources. All of the resources fell through, weren't working. We're still working with her, but through the connections from like Texas, UT connections, we have a place for her to stay in Denton. She should have gotten a phone call earlier today about getting her out of Corpus and into Denton to evade homelessness. She's medically disabled and unable to work because of that. So she took medical retirement because of the disability. And yeah, that was pretty big. Cause like for 2 weeks, everything kept getting worse and worse and worse for her. And it was like, dude, I don't know like how to help. Like whenever we first came on, I thought it was just something, just, hey, here's the purple door. Hey, here's so-and-so, but it's turned into so much more than that. It looks like there's finally a light at the end of the tunnel. So that's kind of been the biggest thing. Cause like helping kids is great. I love it. Helping the teachers is great. But there's just something different when it's like an adult who you know is probably like a few bad instances away from their life being over. So, yeah.
So crazy, man. And like even thinking about homelessness, like there's a lot of people with disabilities and stuff like that out there, man. Wow. So what's the biggest challenge you face when trying to bring inclusion into the classroom?
Money. Just because it's expensive to... running the learning labs isn't expensive, right? We can go over there, we can do that for free,
right?
Talk to the teachers, but actually getting them the equipment costs a lot. Having the word inclusion in our name, which is a DEI thing, is a little bit of a hot button topic in Texas at the moment. So we have kind of, that's why we're trying to digitize everything too, so we can kind of like not have schools potentially be under a microscope if we do anything.
Crazy.
But ultimately it's just like, we don't want to run the learning lab unless we can pay for the equipment if you don't already have it.
Wow. So money wise. Wow. So man, how do you go about, I guess you put on shows and stuff like that's how you go about getting the money to come in.
All the shows are what help us raise money. We were applying for grants for a while. We haven't done that in a minute. We were applying to government grants because those ones have such a huge number attached to them.
Right.
We quit doing that. Now we're just doing either stuff that's local to the state of Texas or local to cities. The Texas Bar Association recently gave us a pretty nice grant that's going to go towards digitizing all of our stuff. The city of San Antonio, because we're statewide, the city of San Antonio recently gave us a grant to be able to feed families over there with what we do.
Amazing.
We're hoping for a music grant from the city of Austin. Corpus, if you're listening, if y'all want to give us a grant, please do. But yeah.
Yeah, man, for sure. Wow. That's amazing, dude. Wow. I had a thought there, man.
I feel that all the time.
I have a thought. It's like, it went away. No. Oh, networking, dude. So how important is, cause I talk about this too often, and the importance of it. How important do you feel that is in what you're doing? As far as getting your word out there, having people wanting to donate and stuff like that. Yeah. Is that important to you? You know what I mean? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, networking is super huge, not just with the nonprofit space, but in general. I don't know how it is everywhere, but I know like in Austin, it's kind of shifting towards, it's not like what your GPA is and stuff like that. It's becoming more like, well, who do you know? How do you fit in over here? Did you make friends with someone when you came to your interview? Things are just shifting from like the what's your piece of paper to like how do you fit in over here, or what network do you have that's already over here?
Wow.
And the same thing with the nonprofit space. Like we do super cool stuff, we help a lot of people, but if we don't network, we don't meet people, we don't become friends with other nonprofits or businesses or anything like that, like we really can't do much.
We got to be part of the community. It's just part of being in the community. Nick Lopez, he says, doing a good deed for everything and everyone. Not only in Corpus, but other areas as well. Mad respect, man. Keep up the great work, says Nick Lopez on YouTube.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate that.
You know Nick?
I do. Maybe.
He's another metal fan, bro. He loves metal. Like he's in the scene totally.
We probably had him at a show then, or maybe I've had him.
Definitely. Well, he's gonna co-host with us tomorrow on with Marcos. Yeah, and he was on the last show when El Nino was on here. He was guest co-hosting.
Nice. I saw you post about that the other day. Names I'm not great with, faces a little bit better, and I can't see the face right now. So if I saw the face, maybe.
All right.
But yeah, I remember seeing the post that you have like a new co-host is gonna be doing stuff with.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. He's out there. His daughter's doing. She did like a music performance, and he posted something about her on there. So real good dude, man. Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. Let's see, we got 20 minutes in. So as you expand into Corpus Christi, what's your vision and what could Walk Into become here in Corpus?
Yeah, so we want to be able to impact all of the schools, make sure that the kids at all of the schools are getting the best education they can. And like when you help the kids with disabilities, it doesn't just help them, it helps everyone as a whole. Like I said before, classrooms have a lot of teachers in them. Mm-hmm. It's really easy for them to get overwhelmed in those classrooms because of a handful of students. And if you have something readily available that you know how to use to manage your classroom,
yeah,
it makes it a little bit easier for you. One of the other things we do also is we do parent meetings. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to start doing those at a higher rate than we have been. And those parent meetings, we do them in English and in Spanish.
Wow.
And those are just letting parents with kids with disabilities know, like, what's an ARD, what's a 504, what's an IEP. We have all of that stuff on our website already in the blog section.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just like, hey, like, your ARD meeting is when you meet with the school and they're going to make an IEP, which is the plan for your student, or the 504, which is kind of like an IEP, but a little bit different.
Like a lesson plan, study plan for the student that the school puts on for them.
Or yeah. Whatever. Yeah. And a lot of parents just, they hear these acronyms and it's like,
what I'm thinking right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Like it sounds really crazy, but if you just like break it down a little bit, it's not like an ARD's a meeting. And your IEPs, your individualized educational plan, 504, I don't know what that stands for because those are all numbers, but that's just like another plan for the student and telling them what they are and how they work and what accommodations you may or may not get. Like having ADD, maybe your accommodation is you get to sit in the front of the class instead of the back because you're going to get more distracted back there, things like that.
Yeah, if a parent in the Coastal Bend needs help today, what's the first step that they should take?
Yeah. So just get on our website, go to our contact page. You can send us a message and we'll be able to talk with you, help you with whatever it is that's going on.
What's the website?
JI2.org. So letter J, letter I, number 2.org. You can type that in. It'll pop up if you're on mobile, just hit the drop down menu and our contact thing will be there. If you're on your desktop, you'll see contact on the top icons. You can do that. Send us a message and we'll help out however we can. Or if you wanted to read up a little bit first before reaching out to us, if you go to the blog spot or the blogs we have on there, we'll have all of that information on there as well.
Yeah, that's an easy website to remember, JI2.org.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. That's so nice. You're saying right there, the contact form and the menu, like if you're on, so make it smaller, Maya, so they can see what the menu looks like. So the contact is right there, right?
Yeah,
that's cool, man.
And then if you scroll to the bottom, you'll find our blog page, and that one, there you go, it's a little heavy on the icon, all the way to the bottom. And then you can hit blog under info, and then that one has just like different things on there.
That's cool.
See our school to prison pipeline. We're doing some stuff with Bexar County to keep kids with disabilities out of the juvenile system.
That's huge.
Yeah, and if you go a little bit further down, we have our ARD, IEP, 504, requesting accommodations, things like that. That way, parents can go and access it and see what's going on.
That's huge right there, man. Dude, you got a big heart for this, dude. For yeah, real, man. Like not a lot of people would want to do this stuff, man. That's amazing. What's the relationship like with the school, like the ISDs and stuff like that? Because I know obviously they got to get involved. You got to get involved with them somehow.
Yeah. So strong-ish. A lot of the schools that I used to work at, they're also a little hesitant right now with us being a DEI nonprofit. There's a lot of uncertainty there on what we can or can't do, which is why we're just trying to digitize everything so people can access it on their own. They don't have to like promote, or we don't have to be at the school for whatever reason.
Wow.
There's been a lot more uncertainty with how to like approach us currently, which is which I get. It is what it is. So,
right. That's just how it goes, man. Now, besides nonprofit work, you also been moving around the Coastal Bend with events and shows. So obviously, you got one on the 28th, right?
Yeah, we have one. Yeah, November 28th, we have Shattered Sun and Zombie King, who was just on here.
Oh yeah,
we have them playing at Brewster Street. Should be a fun show. Doors are going to be at 6, and we have Excess starting at 6:30. Those guys are from Alice as well. Mm-hmm. We have another event over here Monday, December 8th.
Yeah, a comedy event. Yeah, That's cool, bro.
Yeah, it should be super fun. Tanya Lee Davis is going to be filming while she's here. So if anyone has any recommendations of what to do, shoot those our way. She's going to be staying here, I think, 3 nights, because I told her there was a lot to do. Mm-hmm. Convinced her to come to Corpus for a little bit longer. So yeah, people come out to the show Monday, December 8th. It'll be at the A&M Corpus Christi Performing Arts Center. But yeah, that'll be fun. And it'll be a good way to get Corpus on the map. Like, she's got 3.2 million TikTok followers.
Yeah.
And she's filming a TV show. Like,
and it's at the Performing Arts Center, right?
Yeah.
Man, that place is nice.
Yeah, super nice.
It's really nice.
Yeah, the person that booked her, he or she had booked her at the Beltonian in Belton, Texas, which is just north of Austin. And she sold that place out when she had her.
Wow.
So I think hopes are that we'll sell out. I don't know how big the Beltonian is compared to the A&M Performing Arts Center, but the hopes, I'm assuming, to get as many people as possible.
Amazing, bro. Wow, amazing. Man, so real quick, you're talking about, so these are like heavy, like hard rock, heavy metal bands, bro.
Yeah.
Is that the music that you like? Is that why, obviously, you're right.
Yeah.
You chose that style.
Yeah, I'm all over the place with the music that I listen to. But it seems like rock really just has the biggest hearts when it comes to the people and the venues. Mm. When we first started, I wanted to do a two-step into inclusion.
Oh, wow.
And we had Bart Crow ready to go for a concert.
Crazy.
And we're like, oh yeah, like, sweet. We got a number. Let me go find a venue. I couldn't find a country venue for less than like $10,000.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, let's not do that. Reached out to Casey over at House of Rock, and they gave us a good deal. Got some bands together, had Shattered on the show for that very first one. And it kind of just took off from there, because everyone super supportive about the cause in that scene.
Yeah.
Metalheads are some of the nicest people you're ever going to meet.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me think about like the connection between like heavy music and people with ADHD and stuff like that. I don't know. I just really enjoy it, man. Especially stuff that's like constantly changing music wise. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I listen to other stuff too, but it seems like that's the stuff that I lean on. And I wonder if there's a connection between that, you know? That's cool, man. So how do these events support the mission? I mean, I guess you talked about this.
Yeah, so those are just how we raise money. We don't really get, we've just started getting some grants to do different things.
How old is the...
We are almost 3 years old.
Okay, now. Okay,
two
cool.
2 years, I'm not great at math. 2.5, almost 3.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry to cut you off there. So you just started doing these shows, and how does it help with the mission?
Yeah, so it's just to help us raise money so that we can pump money into doing the different things and getting everything together, marketing materials to be able to like tell schools like, hey, look, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times just the phone calls don't work. Like daycare center, because we also do stuff at daycare centers, but daycare centers super busy, schools super busy, where if you want to talk to someone it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
So but being able to put a Google ad whenever a teacher types in like CPE courses near me, we get to pop up so they can get their hours for whatever it may be.
So cool.
Yeah, being able to feed the kids and doing stuff like that helps pay for that. I don't know if you've seen, but we're sending a special needs child and their parent to Texas football games this year.
Wow.
We just had a kid from Alice go to the Texas versus Arkansas
game. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, I need to
Serge was handing out the tickets.
Yeah.
He did that there.
Cool. House of Rock. Yeah.
That's cool, man. It makes me think about like, so is this your first comedy show, and what made you decide to do comedy shows now? It seems like that's where some of the audience is, you know?
Yeah, so it's funny. I had originally reached out to, his name's Michael Glatzmer. He's a comedian as well, but he manages Tanya Lee Davis. Okay. I did not know this when I first reached out. First reached out for Aaron Belial.
Wow.
Do you know who that is? Mm-mm. He's the mute comedian that uses his phone to tell jokes.
Oh, I seen him. Yeah.
Everyone knows him. I reached out for him, and he was already booked around some of the dates we were looking at. And Michael was like, hey, you know, I know you're asking about Aaron, but I've got Tanya Lee. She's wanting to do some shows in Texas. These are her social numbers. She's filming a TV show. Do you want to work with us?
Wow.
I was like, dude, she's filming a TV show all this impact, like, that's huge for us. Like, yes, we want to work with her.
Wow.
But yeah, I originally reached out for Erin Belial. We're still hoping to do something at some point in time, but ended up with Tanya Lee. It's been great so far. Her team's great. She's super cool. Yeah. The show should be great.
Oh, yeah. Dope, man. That's awesome. So how do you blend entertainment, community, and advocacy in one event?
Yeah, so I mean, really, like, when the music's being played or the comedy's being told, like, we can't really come out there in the middle of, like, Shattered Sun or Zombie Kings yeah. and be like, hey guys, I know Juan's singing right now, but so just yeah. reminding people in between, like, what this show is doing, how it helps. At our second annual Rock Into Inclusion, right before Zombie King went on, told everyone our impact of, like, how many kids we fed, how many kids we got close to, how many parents wow. we were able to work with, how many teachers and all that. So just reminding them that you're not just, I mean, you are there for the music, right? But, like, you being here is also for this, and we can't do any of that without you supporting these events.
Oh, man, dude, that's huge, man. You guys support this, man. I really want to support this. I did last time around, man. And, wow, this is so awesome what you're doing, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Man, speaking of shows, culture, and energy, let's get into, I guess, some fun stuff. We're talking about A&M Hate Week. What's going on there?
Yeah, so it's rivalry week across the country. Michigan has Ohio State. Egg Bowl is Thursday as well. No, Friday. That's Mississippi State, Mississippi, or Ole Miss. And then you got Texas, Texas A&M. It's rivalry week. It's hate week.
Yeah.
It's just, so I also helped with one of the tailgates for Texas, the Burnt Ends tailgate. I helped with them. Rick Vasquez, he's our main guy. He's actually behind the Pancake Factory wow. at Texas. I don't know if you know what that is.
Sounds familiar. That sounds cool, though. Yeah.
So that's what pays the NIL for the offensive lineman.
Wow.
So he was a
minor. NIL?
Yeah, NIL. So, like, you know how the players get paid now?
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So
what? Seriously?
Yeah, players get paid.
When did this happen? Whoa, like, smokes.
2 years ago? Two years ago? Yeah, yeah. So him and some lawyer friends created the framework for that. What they created is what basically the rest of the country's been using, because the framework was already created and it was approved. I'm under him, help with the different things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start cooking Thursday night, probably about 8 o'clock at night. We're going to do, I think, like 10 or 12 briskets, 16, 18 pork butts.
Holy smokes. You can do all that, bro?
Yeah. We have a big barrel smoker that we use for the games.
Cool.
So yeah, I'll finish up about 7 in the morning with my part, go home, take a nap, and then come back for the
game. Is there a certain spot y'all post up at? Or?
Yeah. We're on campus. So the Joe C. Thompson Conference Center, if anyone knows where that is, it's right behind the Longhorn City Limits stage, which is where they do the pre and post game concerts. Mm. We're right over there in that area. There's a bunch of tents set up over there. It takes about 3.5 minutes to walk from DKR from where we are. Like, we're on school grounds, like, yeah. Right on school grounds. We have all the food, all the beverages you may want,
man, that sounds like
alcohol.
Fun, dude.
It's
so
super fun.
That sounds like fun. So what's your connection? Well, you went to school there, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Cool, man.
So I went to Texas, big football fan while I was there in post-grad as well. I used to do all the free tailgates, and one of my buddies was like, dude, I know this other one. Like, it's super cool. Come on. I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, these ones are free and that one's $30. He's like, no, it's worth it. Went over there, and I mean, just, you don't get, like, great brisket at the free tailgates. You don't get like this amazing food. You don't see them cut it right in front of you at the free tailgates. And, like, the drinks of choices are pretty amazing as well.
Wow.
So I saw that the main guy that runs it, Rick, was having a bit of a hard time doing it all by himself. And I was like, hey, well, I have a background in operations. Let me come on. Let's organize the season before it even starts and do all the different things. And started with that. Last week we smoked a whole pig for the Arkansas game.
Had you done that before? Or?
No. Well, so we had someone else smoke it. One of the guys on the team, he's just became part of Barbecue Austin with Rodeo Austin.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, oh, I just became part of this. I'll smoke it. It's like, yeah. Cool. I get to sleep. Awesome.
Wow.
But yeah, so I mean, we go all out. Lots of fun. Lots of people over there. Lots of good food.
It sounds like Austin's going to be home for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. Most of our work is here in Corpus, so it would be nice to eventually come over here. Like, a little morbid, but I know I want to die in Corpus. Like, I want to die by the water. I want to be fishing, doing all the different things.
Has it always been like that for you? I mean, wanted to stay here? Because you're from Alice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Has that always been something of yours? Or
no,
this recently came about? Or
maybe in the last 6-7 years, when I was first in Austin, I was like, dude, I'm never going home. I'm not going to be over here ever. Then my dad moved to Cal Allen maybe when I was, I don't know, 19, 20. Grandparents moved over here when I was 21. Or they were already living in Corpus. They went to San Antonio for a bit, yeah, but moved back. So I would come back and visit a little bit more, go fishing a little bit more, visit Sedhill, fish a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it's just that's kind of how I relax and unwind. Because cool. If I have my phone with me, I'm working. And if I'm on the water, I don't want to take my phone out because I don't want it to fall in the water. So that's kind of where I get to relax and just enjoy everything.
Chill out. Oh, yeah. Nick is a Longhorns fan. He's been to some games. Ooh. He said we'll be out there for the game Friday.
If you're free, come by the tailgate. Surlyhorns.net or .com. You'll be able to pull up their website and you'll see the tailgate thing on there. Tickets a little pricey for it, but it's because of the amount of barbecue and drinks we're gonna have.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Does any of the Hate Week energy make its way into your events or content?
Not on the nonprofit page, not on there, but on my personal page, yeah, a lot of it on there. I mean, rivalries run deep. For one of our shows, I have a coupon code on there of OU Sucks. Mm. That gets you $5 off a ticket. So if you're buying a ticket for the Austin show for some reason, OU Sucks, $5 off.
Yeah.
Sports kind of determines my mental health. So cool. Big into the football. A lot of that bleeds into my personal like page and whatever, but the nonprofit, try my best to keep it without. If you pay attention to our posters for the events that we do, you will see an Easter egg that references Texas football.
Wow.
In all of the posters. It's just really hard to find them.
Yo, that's but, so yeah. Cool, man. Wow. Well, rapid fire, what's the best tailgate food?
Brisket.
Yeah, brisket's king, right? Best mascot?
Bevo.
Wow. Worst fan base experience?
Man, so I haven't been to very many away games. Home games haven't been too bad, but I went to the Alabama game. Alabama fans were great, but their students, which I'm sure it's like that everywhere, were just kind of obnoxious. And it was like, dude, like we're just literally not talking to you. What is going on right now?
Wow. Most painful loss?
Probably Florida this year, because that took us out of contention to more than likely make the playoffs, because I knew we were going to more than likely drop Georgia. So that hurt. That and the last year when we lost to Washington, I was at that game. Wow. And seeing that we could have taken into overtime and just didn't do it.
Hey, man, just wasn't having it. Bold prediction for this year.
For sports or for the nonprofit?
Whichever is best for you. I mean, whichever you think. Either or.
For sports, this season's already about to be over, but manning for Heisman in 2026, 2027.
Nice.
And then as far as the nonprofit stuff goes, I think that by the end of this upcoming year, we will have a solidified base that we're able to help from El Paso to Houston and then all the way up to whatever's above Lubbock. I don't remember. Wow, Amarillo, all the way down to the
RDD. That's amazing, man. Well, man, best of luck. Are those the biggest goals you want to accomplish this upcoming year?
Yeah, we just want to be able to make sure that like teachers are getting the resources they need.
Yeah,
that's pretty huge. We get a grant from Google to run ads on there.
Wow.
So once this thing is done, we're gonna pump a lot of that Google ad grant money.
Dude, that's awesome.
Letting teachers know. Yeah.
Wow. How did you come across that? Did somebody find y'all, or did you ask around?
Yeah, I just typed in marketing grants for nonprofits on Google.
Yo.
And that was the first thing that popped up. Yeah, so if you're a nonprofit, you can apply. You get $10,000 a month in Google Ads. Once we're ready to go with everything, we're just going to run an ad for the Inclusive Learning Lab online, put like $8,000-$9,000 a month in it. We still need a little bit to make sure that our events can pop off and whatnot.
But is it true that there's like so many grants out there that people don't even know about? Yeah.
There's so many grants out there. It's the thing about people not knowing about them is that sometimes when you find them, they've already closed. Oh. But yeah, there's a lot out there.
Wow, that's cool, man. What's one thing Corpus Christi can do right now to support your mission?
Show up to the events. Come to the events. Let us know that our work matters. We don't do a lot of like email campaigns asking you for a straight up donation. We try to give you some sort of product for for supporting us, most of that product being shows or entertainment in some sort of thing. So just show up. That's all we can ask for.
Yeah, man. So people can find you on the ji2.org website, correct?
Sir.
So is that the best place to find you? Is there anywhere else they can look to find you?
Yeah, so we're on Instagram and on Facebook. Just Joaquin Into Inclusion on Facebook. You type it in on Instagram. We're also the only one that pops up.
Nice.
But you can find us on there. You can find my personal page using my first name and my last name, Joaquin Rangel, and we'll pop up.
That's cool, man. Is there anything you'd like to share before we go? Because we're trying to... Sorry, that was like a cold...
No.
We're about to wrap up from my end. Is there anything you'd like to share?
I don't just... Everyone come to events, support everyone else. Crawfish for a Cause, we weren't selected for that one, but they do great things for nonprofits as well. One of the nonprofits they're helping is kids who age out of the foster care system who don't have homes still. They help them find homes. I don't remember the name of it, but just support however you can. Support music, support nonprofits. Such amazing talent over here.
Yeah.
Support where you can.
Awesome, man. So this is the Hispanic goodbye, where I say goodbye and then I ask you some more questions.
Yeah.
I'm wondering about the prison, was it school to prison thing that you had on your...
Yeah, school to prison.
Can pipeline. You tell me more about that?
Yeah, so the school to prison pipeline is kind of just a pipeline people talk about, where schools, predominantly Title I's or your poor schools, those kids end up in prison in one way or another, at a higher rate than you would in like your affluent schools, right? Kids with disabilities, primarily ADD, ADHD, and dyslexia, end up in the system more than everyone else, because if you have too much energy or you're dyslexic and you don't know that you are, you just feel like you're dumb or whatever you may feel.
No guidance.
Yeah. I mean,
it could be anything. Any of those factors.
Yeah. Any of those things just making you feel like, man, like I'm not good enough because I don't know what I'm doing. I can't read or whatever it is. Those students tend to lash out the most. They tend to act out the most. They want to be like the class clown, which is fine. Like everyone likes your class clown. They're funny.
Right.
But sometimes those behaviors change from things that are, you know, more or less okay to things that get you into trouble. You start going to the principal's office more. Now you're labeled as a troublemaker. Now you're fighting. Now you've gone to juvie. Once you've gone to juvie, you're kind of already in the system. So your likelihood of ending back into it goes up even more. So our work with Bexar County is to try to, we're working with a bunch of nonprofits over there and with the Bexar County Juvenile Probation Department to come up with ways to impact schools to make sure that kids don't end up in juvie.
Yeah, man. Dude, that's awesome. Yeah, and it seems like Bexar County's like one of the hugest ones too in Texas.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because you have so many low-income schools in San Antonio, and there's a lot of gang problems and gang violence over there as is. And if you have students who just feel like, dude, I'm not good at school, like why would I even try? That's only going to make it a little bit worse.
Oh my God, dude. Wow. Well, man, I'm rooting for you, man, for sure.
Appreciate it.
Guys, come out, support Joaquin too. What is it? Joaquin Into Inclusion, right?
Yeah, Joaquin Into Inclusion.
Joaquin Into Inclusion, and that's the name of the nonprofit.
Yes, sir.
Joaquin Into Inclusion.
Yeah. It's
cool,
it's,
man. Yeah, support these guys, man. You guys. But yeah, thanks for coming on the show, man. I'm trying to see if I have any more questions before you go, man. I really like what you're doing, and just hoping for the best, man. And hopefully, you get some more shows out here, and people support, and people see what you're doing. Hopefully, people see this podcast. You know, when I share some clips, you know, hopefully, you'll get some drumming going. So, but thanks for coming on, Joaquin.
For sure, man. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. You guys. All right. So, Joaquin. So check out the show this Friday, November 28th and December 8th. Follow Joaquin Into Inclusion and support the movement towards better inclusion for kids in our communities in Texas. This has been another episode of the Corpus Christi Originals podcast. I'm your host, Jesus Hilario, and I'll see you on the next one.